Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and on today's show, we have Bernice Kissinger and Keith Matsumoto, both from PICTR, which is the Pacific International Center for High-Tech Research, and they're here to talk about a conference coming up called Partnerships in Climate Dual-Use Technology. And, of course, we'll get into the details of that, but I want to welcome you both to Bite Marks Cafe.
Yeah, thank you.
Great to be here,
Bert. Great to be here.
And Keith, we just had you on, so I'm going to hold your intro for a little later, but I want to focus on Bernice. And Bernice, I don't know when the last time I had you on the show. Might have been pre-pandemic.
I'm sure it was, yes.
So it's great to see you and great to have you. And maybe, Bernice, tell us a little bit about the pathway that you've taken. Because I know we've talked about the Pacific Impact Zone and how you kind of are now focused in on the work that you're doing with PICTR.
Sure. Thank you so much. So really, my association with PICTR went back all the way really to pre-2000s when I was able to join them when they were running this Hawaii Dual-Use Technology Venture, or HDTV, which spun out many of the successful companies, including DeraSys, including many programs that anchored in eventually into Pacific Impact Zone, into Elemental Accelerator, National Disaster Preparedness Training Center. So I've been with them actually off and on for quite a while. But in this capacity, my background has really been in allied nations, and specifically Japan, for most of my career. While I was with the Oahu Economic Development Board, we had the beginnings of that, industry clusters that could find markets in the Asia-Pacific region. But PICTR has a very long history, but also deep relationships with ministries in Japan, with organizations in Australia, Taiwan, Korea, Indonesia. So they're very embedded. And I was able to, after I went down a path of rapid contracting vehicles, was one of the first consortium managers for one of the DoD's rapid contracting vehicles. I looked at, how might we get not only U.S. companies involved in the mix, but we were seeing technology gaps. And I was actually in a secure conference facility and was being asked by trusted microelectronics leaders, how can we engage, in particular, Japan for some of their really leading-edge ceramics and new materials? They had very specific asks. And so I started to work, fed back to PICTR, but I started to work really on policy to ensure that other transaction authorities, for example, could call out allied nation companies and add that to the training that's given to contracting officers, which we did. It took a year, and then helped to launch an other transaction authority that really prioritizes teaming of U.S. companies with allied nation companies and anchoring it that way.
And so when you talk about allied nations, and I know you just mentioned, a lot of the Asia focus, is there a particular country that you're got your sort of sights on?
Yes.
I know Japan is one of them, and Korea.
So, yes. What's nice about the constellation of allied nations is that there's so much energy based on existential threats that you have NATO now really engaging also in the Indo-Pacific region. They've just opened an office in Tokyo. Their NATO Innovation Fund is fully leaning forward, working with us, in fact, on anchoring with Japanese companies. I would say that one of the strongest allies right now in terms of technology sourcing is Japan for the U.S. for a number of reasons. Our U.S. Forces Japan really represents now a major command structure. Japan just set up a joint operations center, the equivalent of Indo-PACOM. That's never happened before. And so U.S. Forces Japan has tripled its size in order to pair up with them. That's why there's so much focus on Japan. However, the Pacific Islands are extremely important, American Samoa in particular, Guam, CNMI, and FAS. And then certainly Taiwan is a huge partner when it comes to defense tech.
And Keith, I know PICTR's been around for, 30-some-odd years?
Almost 40.
And you were probably there at the very beginning, right?
I'm not that old, but pretty old, yes.
And the you know, the dual use activity that Bernice is describing, I mean, Pictures has always been interested in that sort of cross section and intersection of opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. In 2004, we actually started probably the first dual use incubator in the nation called the Hawaii Technology Development Venture. And it was focused on Hawaii companies, mainly developing technologies so that you could really connect with the military, to the point where we actually allowed companies to participate in training exercises in Thailand and in the Philippines well, which were groundbreaking opportunities for Hawaii companies to actually test in field, in use by military personnel, their technologies.
So now that I have you both here in the studio and we're, you know, talking about, we're going to talk about the PAC conference. What was the genesis of PAC? And I know this is going to be the second one, right?
Yes.
But the first one, Keith, was what's the genesis of the first, you know, sort of like this partnership in climate dual use?
So Pictor's history, we've always done work in renewable energy, in environment. But with the HTDV experience with dual use technology, the ability to look at the region and say, what do we need? And looking at climate and environment technologies and looking at dual use technologies, primarily focused on opportunities where civilian technologies could be applied to defense purposes, really resonated with us. And the fact that Pictor has this experience, both working with the DOD, with ONR, as an example, but also with...
That's Office of Naval Research.
Office of Naval Research, but also with the NOAA office here in Hawaii on the PRIMO conference. So
right, PRIMO, and you know, we haven't mentioned PRIMO for a while, but that's another Pictor conference that you guys have been
involved. Yeah, we managed those conferences for a number of years, and so that experience managing conferences, we're bringing people together, and just sort of we kind of had this crazy idea that we're going to bring these two communities that normally they don't really get together, but we wanted to try and bring them together and start realizing that there's so many common opportunities to work together, that technologies can serve both the climate sensitive people or the environment sensitive people, but also the defense applications.
Yeah, if I could kind of add.
Sure.
One of the themes that really stretches across all of that, which we call whole of society and whole of government efforts, is data sharing. So data sharing between the U.S. and allies, whether it's massive climate change, whether it's a man-made or natural disaster, whether it's war, whether it's something short of war, that type of data sharing is what's common across all of those areas. So anything that strengthens, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration collects a gazillion data points that are really important to the U.S. and its allies in real time. So that's an example where it could be something that looks at climate that's impacting the pathways of ships, the recent Arctic area where we're seeing a lot of changes in the actual ice flows. That is really important from a security, but also a community perspective.
And what did you call it? Whole of
society.
Whole of society. Yeah. And I'd like to have you speak a little bit more to whole of society, because when I was looking at the website and sort of like the description, it actually calls out in bold whole of society. So I want you to talk a little bit more about that. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with Bernice Kissinger and Keith Matsumoto, both from Pictor. And this is Bite Marks Cafe.
HPR listeners value public radio. If you're looking for a way to connect with our audience, help our fans get to know your company by sponsoring programming on HPR. Visit hawaiipublicradio.org/corporate-support.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR One. I'm Bert Lum. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Bernice Kissinger and Keith Matsumoto, both from the Pacific International Center for High-Tech Research, and they're here to talk about a conference coming up called Partnerships in Climate Dual-Use Technologies. And right before the break, we were talking a little bit about something called sort of whole of society. And when I hear whole of society, that sounds pretty encompassing, right? So, Bernice, how would you describe how PAC wants to address or the perhaps the outcomes of the, you know, the partnerships that result? Address the whole of society.
Thank you. What we know is that in any time of strife or threats that multiple sources of data, multiple sources of information are spread throughout our communities and throughout our defense structure. Oftentimes they're not connected. And that's where you have opportunities for disinformation. Oftentimes that's where you will get a sense of civil strife because people don't know what's going on. And in the past, they were very isolated from each other in the U.S. You had a defense structure that for secure reasons would not be able to share data necessarily so freely. That has changed with Hurricane Iniki, for example. That was a big call to action, and Senator Inouye was a big leader in ensuring that what happened there, where the military was really stuck, they had this information about Hurricane Iniki making a J turn, and how could they communicate that without protocol preset to the community at large? And they did, but it was really tough. And so that's a small example of why you would want, again, that's a natural disaster, why you would want whole of society. But even more so, let's be really clear about our threat geopolitically, which is China. Mm-hmm. China has developed an extremely effective whole of society approach where civilian, military, industrial data is shared and is actually coordinated. We have seen that that is very effective in certain ways. The U.S. will never do it the same way that China does, but it's extremely effective because you have then quadrupled your sensors to feed back in to support a community that's perhaps in a natural disaster. You've quadrupled your resources and data points to help the military to know where there are incursions that they can't see. And you can do the same for industry. Right, where they may be under cyber attack and they wouldn't know, but all of the different other sources of data can identify that, in fact, the utilities who will be in our situation, they've already been targeted. How do you find that out? Whole of society data is one of those ways.
And so when you refer to the whole of society and you refer to data, this data could be a result from a sensor array providing data, but it could also include information that results from the analysis and interpretation of that data.
Absolutely.
So when you speak of the whole of society data category, it's not just the data points, right?
Right.
It's the analysis and the conclusions that the data reveals.
And it's the fusion of multiple sets of data, multiple analyses, the fusion of all of those into a decision-making template that says, here's a crisis that no one else is seeing. When you put them together, here's not only the crisis, but pathways, right? That's where AI becomes extremely important.
So it's acquisition of data, it's the fusion of data, it's the data analysis, and then the interoperability use of that data in a way that needs to be coordinated to be done properly among the different forces. And with Japan, with the U.S., there are different standards. There's different ways you communicate, and reconciliation of that is a challenge. So part of the conference is to kind of address these issues, you know, headlong. I mean, we want to just bring it up and just say, let's see how we can work together and get this done.
And I'm curious, Keith, what role does PICTR play? I mean, obviously, you're bringing people together to form partnerships, but do you see PICTR being able to maybe be a value, have a value proposition in this sort of data analysis endeavor?
Well, in our work, you know, the key piece is we can bring people together, but we also try and help facilitate the dialogue that's necessary. So in the case of Japan, some of the work needs to be done to get them to understand what is required to do the level of data sharing, to have that cybersecurity at the Japanese internet basis so that the U.S. feels comfortable to be able to do that data sharing and acquisition with Japanese companies and to the Japanese government as well.
And so I would say also, for example, we're putting on several workshops and design sprints that go beyond talking heads. So it's not just talking and bringing people together. These are actual scenario where you've got funded RFIs and RFPs where the U.S. and Japanese government and U.S. and Japanese companies are actually combining information about capabilities that will go into an RFP that allies and the U.S. companies can respond to.
So Bert, just so you know, these design sprints that we're putting together, because they're bilateral, it includes U.S. companies, U.S. government, Japanese government, Japanese industry is sort of something that hasn't been done before. Mm-hmm. And to put people in a room to work together is something that's novel, but we hope is going to be very meaningful to the point where leadership at Indo-PACOM is interested in supporting that effort. And so, and we have pretty high level people from the Japanese government that's going to be coming to view what's happening in this design sprint, but also participate in the conference. And that's a commitment the Japanese government is making to connect with the local Department of Defense command here in Hawaii.
Well, and you know, we'll get to talk a little bit more about that. And we've had you on the show talking about the JSTAR-X program, right? And so I think that is a linkage that ties into the PACT conference. But I do want to give Bernice a chance to say a little bit about something called APEX OTA, which is, I found out the acronym is Other Transaction Authority. And when I was reading about it, it was like trying to sort of like fast track, lower the barriers for some new technologies to actually get acquired by these agencies that we're talking about. So yes. Tell us more about this APEX OTA.
Sure. So this is part of a suite of rapid contracting options that government has tried to build so that they no longer take as long on their side when they're interacting with companies, especially because they're trying to encourage companies who are not necessarily used to Department of Defense procurement, and they don't want to harm these companies. They want to expedite commercial tech.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
What makes this one different from, it's one of two in the nation that not only can it's run out of Army Futures Command, but it's open to all services. There's no cap on the amount. It's a 10-year program that just started 3 months ago. But most importantly, it's the only one in the nation right now that combines funding for research. It can be a concept. Also can purchase equipment for experimentation. It also can provide challenge prizes, but challenge prizes that go straight into prototyping and production. So the ultimate metric is transition. How many technologies start from the front and get to the warfighter? Not how many events do you have, how many people show up. This is how many actual technologies get to the warfighter within a 7-week period. That's the churn rate. So one of the things is tied to this is it's the only one that that has as its focal point 9 different technology areas, 11 different research areas, one catch-all that's emerging technologies, but it calls out for U.S. and allied nation vetted companies. So it's a fully, when I say vetted, checking to make sure that there are no adversary funding sources, and also that there's no influence. So it's one of the very few that actively does that, and most importantly, that combines U.S. and allied nation companies into teams. So that's quite different.
And so is APEX OTA something that will be a part of the PACT conference? And
yes.
Then, so you have representatives from
yes.
that program
we have
attending.
Yes, we have the leadership of the Consortium Management Organization who represent Army Futures as the owner. It's actually Army Research Lab as the owner.
And you have sort of a feel for their sense of obligation to actually
yes.
make something happen as a result?
Yes. So what they'll be talking about is their very first one in the pipeline contract came out. It was for an eVTOL. It was for an eVTOL project that was 3 months ago. They now have a lineup of coming soon opportunities, and they've reduced the barriers completely in terms of companies joining. Like many of these rapid contracting vehicles will require companies to pay thousands of dollars to be a member, and then the companies feel like, well, then I'm absolutely going to get a contract, but there's no guarantee.
Uh-huh.
In this case, it's like less than $100 just because they have to charge something, but they are very clear about working with companies to prepare them and actually take them through testing and evaluation.
Mm-hmm. So I do want to get into some of the details as to what's going to actually happen at the PACT conference, and I'm going to have you, Keith, talk to me about that, but I want to hold that thought. We'll be right back at this short break to continue our conversation with Bernice Kissinger, and we also have Keith Matsumoto, both from PICTR, here talking about the PACT conference coming up later on in February. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors PCAT, Pacific Center for Advanced Technology Training, and the Rice Partnership.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR 1. And, of course, if you're just joining us, we're talking to Bernice Kissinger and Keith Matsumoto from PICTR. And we're talking about partnerships in climate dual-use technology, which is a conference coming up. And right before the break, I wanted Keith to kind of share a little bit about some of the specific kind of activities that might take place, you know, at the PAC conference coming up later on in February. But Keith, what did you want to add to that?
So Bert, I just wanted to say the PICTR has been designated as a consortium partner for allied nations for this APEX OTA. So we're the people who are going to be, so to speak, tech scouts on behalf of that consortium, looking for allied nation companies that can fit into the focus areas that Bernice described earlier. And so that's a major task we have. And that plays into our JSTAR-X program, where a lot of these companies potentially could serve as candidates to participate in this OTA program. And there are a number of other companies from Japan in their defense tech acceleration program that we also want to provide access through our partners in Japan that potentially could participate. Because this is a wonderful opportunity to get companies to get funding. But in truth, it's an opportunity for the U.S. to benefit from fantastic and novel technology from our allied nations.
Now, Keith, you mentioned JSTAR-X, and we've had a number of shows actually covering JSTAR-X, as well as some of the companies join us, you know, on the show. But just as a recap, what is JSTAR-X? And is the cohort here already, or they're about to show up?
So the cohort will be arriving here mid-February. Mm-hmm. We have 8 companies, potentially 9 companies coming. They're a pretty varied group of people, from diamond semiconductor people to UAV type companies, quantum computing companies, to rocket fuel technology companies. Mm-hmm. So a very broad group of people, but very experienced. In Japan, they call them startups, but startups with a lot of money, that they've raised a lot of money. So they're really not true startups, but they're startup from the standpoint of being involved in defense and dual use technology. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be mentoring them. And the conference is sort of their, represents their final exam on the last day that they will actually pitch to the wider group. The group we had last year, a few of them will probably be returning. And so they will have, again, opportunities to share what did they get from the conference last year, but how have they progressed as a technology company in Japan and the work that they've done. So those are some of the pieces. But during the conference, we're going to have representatives from the climate area. So Hawaii Green Growth will be there as well. We have people from, we mentioned National Disaster Preparedness Training Center. As an example, we have people from Hawaii Natural Energy Institute that will be coming, as well as some of our partners from the Uplifting Waianae Project, talking about native plant propagation and how important that is for climate.
Right, and Uplifting Waianae was a previous show that we did talking about an EPA grant.
The EPA grant. And the other part is we have, as I mentioned earlier, interest from the leadership at INDOPACOM. And we have a number of wonderful defense companies coming in, along with leaders within the defense community from the Air Force to other areas that will be coming to speak about at INDOPACOM, to speak about their needs and requirements and the direction that we need to go to really provide that regional security and stability so important for us.
So this is sounds like a pretty well, not only attended by the participants, but it's a pretty diverse group, which includes JSTAR-X from Japan, and you have local companies, you know, being involved. And so, Bernice, you know, in terms of what you would like to see as outcomes from the pact, what would you say would be ideal?
So what we're doing with the conference is actually building upon and expanding on already funded programs, and like, for example, the workshop that brings together a lot of these companies to provide input to RFPs before they are released. At the conference, that's going to be magnified because the number of equivalents of contracting officers and program managers in the audience who will be presenting, but also who will be interacting with these companies, is the collision that we're looking for, mm-hmm. so that we build on what we've done. By then, we will have done that workshop. We will build more of those workshops where you have more and more of those companies that are being showcased really interacting with the U.S. and Japan and other allies, their contracting officers, to creating language that's going to really shape the contracts that will come out. That, to me, is, I think, the most important, because then you have the basis for interoperability. You have the basis for co-production across allied nations, but it's demand-driven and it's funded. It's not, you know, let's just talk about requirements that if it were funded, it would be great. Mm-hmm. We do not go down those pipelines at all. We just stick to where are the funded opportunities and how do companies align and get in early to help shape, to show, in fact, the funders what the art of the possible is, drawing from commercial tech. And scaling.
And in light of the sort of the geopolitical situation in the Pacific and we being in the middle of it, how do you see the mutual benefit of these varied companies coming together,
yeah.
and perhaps finding some partnerships that, you know, benefit perhaps Japan, Hawaii, and elsewhere?
So I'll take a stab at it first, Keith. Number one, it's really important when you get into this region to understand that Hawaii is way back in the region. We are so far on the edge, right? The center of the region where all of this existential threat is mm-hmm, happening mm-hmm. and all of the collision is happening is really the Pacific Islands and Japan. Japan will soon be treated like the Philippines from an adversary. They're starting to already see incursions in their waters. So what you see with water cannons, all of that, we have the 3rd Marine Littoral Regiment out of Cay Bay that is really active in the Philippines. There is a 12th Marine Littoral Regiment that will be doing the same in Japan and the Pacific Islands. So we're going to see that heating up in terms of geopolitical threats. But when you look at the long-term opportunities, all of our nations, allied nations, are looking at commercial tech connections between companies. It's one of the strongest ways to create an enduring allied industrial base that during peacetime will prosper as well as, and that's, I think, what you're asking. That's
yeah,
the goal.
No, exactly, yeah. And Keith, so where can people go and find out more information about this conference?
So please go to the PICTR website, PICTR.org, PICTR.org/PACT, PACT,
okay.
and you'll get to the conference webpage, and you can take a look there.
Very good. I'll put that up on our show notes for later on. Bernice Kissinger and Keith Matsumoto, both from PICTR, the Pacific International Center for High-Tech Research, and they're both very much involved with organizing the Partnerships in Climate Dual-Use Technology Conference coming up in February. And what's the dates?
February 26th to 28th.
Got it. And I want to thank you.
Hotel.
Thank you both for joining me.
Thank you. Thank you, Bert.
Thank you, Bert.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about the Hawaii Venture Capital Association Entrepreneur Awards. Of course, if you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on BiteMarsCafe.org. Our engineer is Crystal Spear. And, of course, you can catch us on HPR One every Friday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe. You stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.